Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We saw you as savages only. We discovered instead that you are unusual creatures in your own limited ways. Ways which in time will not be so limited.
We're growing. Something about us compels us to learn, explore.
Yes, the human compulsion. And unfortunately for us, it is a power which will grow stronger century after century, eon after eon.
Eons. Have you any idea how far we'll advance?
Perhaps in the future that you cannot yet conceive, even beyond us. So you see, we must know more about this human compulsion. That's why we've selected you, Riker, to become part of the queue, so that you can bring to us this human need and hunger, that we may better understand it.
Do you poo and I poo?
It's the wrong season, Dan. Do you have a Halloween poo song?
This is poopy poo. This is poopy poo. Poopy poo.
Although that's arguably what? A riff on a song from a Halloween themed Christmas movie.
Well, it says this is Halloween, so.
Okay. I mean, fair point. All right. Let's start the podcast if you're all good with that.
Well, if Die Hard, though, like, did that have a theme, a singable theme? Because that would be a Christmas tune, right?
Isn't there like some kind of Beethoven in it?
That's right.
Which one?
Like Ode to Joy.
Yeah. Like the Ninth Symphony. Yeah. Is that the fourth movement of the Ninth Symphony?
Ninth Symphony.
Or is it the third movement?
I don't actually know.
It's
probably one of the last ones. It's probably the fourth one.
It's either third or fourth. I can't remember.
It's got that kind of vibe.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. It's got that kind of vibe. And you're listening to It's Got Star Trek.
It's Got Star Trek.
How's that?
Oh. Shields and deflectors up, sir.
How's that for a clever,
shields up,
somewhat low shields energy up segue?
People don't even know it started yet.
Into the beginning,
well,
of the,
like they don't even know
the initiated. No,
they're still waiting. They haven't realized it started the audience, because we were so like casual about it that they think they're still waiting for the podcast.
They knew what was going on.
I don't know. I think our audience is probably more clever than
they're hip to it.
They're like, oh, wait a minute, they're talking to us. That's what they're saying.
They know how to listen.
They didn't realize we were talking to them before.
I got you.
They thought we were talking, you know, just like amongst ourselves.
You're not calling them stupid. You're saying we are talented.
No, I was just saying, like, it was just, that's just how casual our intro was.
Yeah. Do you think we should do more of these sort of casual, like, low energy?
Should we
like,
start over?
Like, we're all, like, flopping around. We're just like,
no, sir.
Hey, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek hour, or hour and a half, usually.
We used to
aim for an hour.
See if we could make it for two.
We never made it. Anyway.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry about it.
You're just like mumbling.
We're doing the low energy startup.
Low energy. It's getting to be fall.
Take it easy, Dan.
Slide right into the podcast.
Dan means business.
You seem to find this all very amusing.
I mean, I do. And this is a good episode. I'm excited to talk about this episode. But we have
perhaps you'll share the joke with me.
We have other things to discuss ahead of the discussion of the episode, so let's do this.
Something to discuss ahead of the discussion.
Yes.
Do we have a pre-discussion to discuss ahead of the discussion?
If you want to just start into our discussion our discussion of hide and queue, just jump ahead to, I don't know, 15 minutes? I don't know. We'll see.
It's too soon for this.
Maybe 22 minutes.
But you might miss some fun stuff in the interim time, so maybe skipping ahead isn't the right thing to do. Anyway. Okay, so welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
This is episode 261 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Incredible.
I knew it.
Yeah. Jesse's been keeping track. lately. For a while, you lost track.
Just the last two, yeah.
There was a few hundred there. You were keeping pretty good track, and then you lost track.
Yeah, I was like on it, and then I was like, wait a minute.
And a little bit off it, but yes.
I don't care.
So this will be our 261st episode.
I care.
And in addition to
504. 504.
Okay. He spoke that so like eloquently and with such consonants. Is that the right word? I don't even know. It sounds like the right word.
Maybe. I don't believe it's the right word.
He spoke with such consonants.
I don't think that's a word.
Consonants.
I think it's a word.
Sibilance? No, it's not sibilance.
Consonants is a word, but I don't
know. Yeah, consonants is a word, but I don't believe it's the...
It's not the
word. I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Consonants is the opposite of dissonance.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, he spoke confidently and with force. Eloquently, articulately. Like the way he said that number, it was so excessive.
504.
Well, and there are a number of other instances of him speaking very eloquently, both in this episode and throughout the Star Trek franchise.
Instance of consonants.
Yes. All right. So episode 261, this is a free episode. And then we have Patreon stuff. That's cool.
You got to pay.
In what way?
You can go listen to it and see. There's free previews. You can check it out. Patreon.com.
Do you believe I haven't thought of that, Jean-Luc?
/ It's Got Star Trek. We just put a new one up there. Forget what it was about.
It's a new one.
I remember it was entertaining.
It's up there.
Oh, wait.
My subjective view.
Are you talking about like the last episode we did was Tattoo?
No, the last Patreon episode we put up.
Oh, we talked,
there was some singing, there was some talking about ancient rock and roll.
Music, yeah.
I don't remember.
So wait, okay. This episode we're doing today is Hide and Q.
Hide and Q.
Now that was
this
based
is a regular old
now,
podcast.
I've lost track now. Which podcast did the algorithm get fed in order to create the suggestion of us listening to Hide and Q?
You're trying to remember. So whether it was Tattoo.
Wasn't it last week?
I think it was, wasn't it? It was it last week's episode.
Which podcast did it have to ingest?
Yeah, I can't remember. Did it ingest?
Or was it 2 weeks
ago? Okay, so sorry for new folks who don't understand what's going on. So Dan has a
I don't think I know understand.
Dan's has a certain facility with computers.
Eh.
And
it's all right.
And he's developed a very complicated algorithm that slurps up, takes a transcript of our previous week's, or one of a previous episode of It's Got Star Trek. And then using some sort of calculating mechanism, some sort of weighting of words or whatever, I don't know, his algorithm will spit out a list of Star Trek episodes that we should discuss next. Right?
Yeah.
Am I right so
out
far?
Out of the goodness of your heart.
Okay. So now Dan cannot quite recall whether we selected Hide and Q by having his algorithm ingest. What did we talk about last week? What are little girls made of?
Yeah.
From TOS.
Right.
Okay.
With the
and
rock.
So, and
or did we do the? I think you did. What are little girls made of?
We didn't ingest. What are little girls made of for this episode?
Oh no, but for Tattoo, you think we did Tattoo?
We did Tattoo for this episode.
Okay, all right.
So this episode, see, now it's going to get confusing because we're going to jump to like one behind.
I don't think
it's confusing.
I don't think get confusing. I don't think get is the operative
word. Well, okay,
word here.
Look,
it's already yeah.
Okay,
is
okay. How it was is our podcast. For a week was based upon the podcast we created the previous week.
Sure. Yes.
But now what we're doing is the podcast for this week is dependent upon the podcast we created 2 weeks ago, a fortnight.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we're going to, people will forget by then. I'm down to try it because maybe
just
nobody
just
actually cares.
Forget. Somebody will remember.
Maybe the
thinking was is then we could announce at the
well,
end of the episode.
Well, that's
what
I'm saying.
Discuss.
Maybe people will care more about us announcing the episode than they will about the algorithm and whatever it does. They probably don't even care about the algorithm.
I wonder if they'll care more about this conversation than about our sure to be fulsome and insightful discussion of Hide and Q. When we eventually get to it. Which we promise will be soon.
But it's only 7 minutes, so
exactly.
Keep
listening. We're not quite there yet.
How the hell do I advise you?
Yeah, check out the Patreon. Quite honestly, there's some awesome stuff on there. So at least check out the free previews. Why not? There's even a few free full episode previews. So yeah, patreon.com/JustGotStarTrek. So this week we had two reviews.
Hey, Wes.
And our policy.
Not bad.
Our policy, yeah, okay, Jordy was...
Yeah, what the hell was
Jordy
that?
Was really fucking into mid-20s, supposedly, hunky Wesley.
Wait, just play it again.
Jordy's
hey,
not a hell of a...
Wes, not bad.
I do not know how else you interpret that line reading.
I know.
We'll get to that. Okay.
That was awesome.
We'll get to that.
It was amazing.
But we did have two haikus.
From me to use.
And our policy is that if you write a review... No, wait. God damn it. We had two reviews. Why can't I get this right?
I don't know what you got wrong.
Well, because we had two reviews, not two haikus. We have two haikus.
Q, where mother did I go your wrong? Mind.
As a response to the
macro head. To the with a micro brain.
There's a lot of prejudice in this episode, by the way. The animal creature things. Anyway.
Come on, not again.
We will get to all of that. What I mean to say is we had two reviews. People yes. posted reviews. And our policy is that for every review, Dan will write a haiku for the person who wrote the review. It's sort of a reward. Again, we must reiterate, it is not intended to be a threat. It's meant to be a reward. So this week...
Of course, Jean-Luc.
Two haikus, well, two reviews... Resulting in two haikus. Okay.
I don't understand.
So we got one review from Jesse from Open Pike Night. Very, very nice review.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing his first? I was going to do his second.
Okay. Well,
because I don't know. We will do his first. Just do it. Just do what you're going to do. No, I just fucked up.
It's all right.
I just fucked up. It's cool.
All right. So, well, anyway.
Equally as meaningless.
Jesse from the Open Pike Night podcast said, It's Got Star Trek is legitimately one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. Top 10 all time. And not even just among Trek pods. Among all pods.
All pods.
If you don't like this podcast, I don't want to know you.
Oh, snap.
That's a pretty fucking rad review. It's, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty
intense.
You should
get like two haikus for them.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Why don't you write the second one, Jesse?
Oh, man.
Jesse likes creating work for the rest of us.
Right.
Anyway.
Maybe I'll write a limerick.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jesse. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dan, do we have a haiku
for
Jesse?
Well, you didn't actually say his username. Oh, the whole premise is these haikus are based upon their username.
Okay, I'm still not 100% clear on that, so I apologize.
It's like, couldn't be any easier to remember. The haiku is based upon the username of the person who wrote
it. I promise you I'll remember this in the future, and this is useful information to pass along to the audience.
Right.
When they're,
and to yourself.
So they can have some expectations for what they're going to get. It's going to be based on your username, according to Dan. So can you remind us what Jesse's username is? Because I did not write it down.
Uppercase OPN _ Jesse. With J capitalized.
All right. OPN presumably standing for Open Pike Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jesse. All right. So here's Jesse's haiku that I wrote based upon his username. Opening wormhole. Pike swimming through space and time. Night of cosmic fish.
See, okay. Now, to the audience, one thing I didn't make clear is Dan is not using ChatGPT or any other AI.
It sounds like you're trying to make excuses for me.
I just wanted to make that clear.
No, he's trying to. It's like, okay, you gotta understand something.
He is not using ChatGPT. So if for whatever reason
qualifying the quality of my haikus by reminding people that it was not created by all of the words in the world.
It's not a judgment on the quality.
From the library of the words
anything,
in the world.
If anything, I just want to stress to people that this is your own raw creative juices, and you deserve all the credit.
It still sounds like you're fucking...
Can we hear it again,
like
please?
Like a put down. It sounds like a put down.
No, well, let's hear it. Can we hear the haiku again?
Okay, based on the name OPN Jesse. Opening wormhole. Pike swimming through space and time. Night of cosmic fish.
All right. Excellent. Because a pike is a fish.
Yeah.
Open
Pike Night.
Yes. All right. And then the next review was from Jorge Marquez. And I think it was just Jorge _ Marquez.
Yeah.
And he says his review it was a 5-star review. Yeah. It's a 5-star review. And it simply just says holograms.
Holograms?
There we go. All right, Dan will have a non-GPT, non-ChatGPT,
just in case
review.
You were requiring the quality.
Jesus.
It was not made. Our AI is still in good shape. All
good,
right,
good.
It didn't make something like this, which means it's smart and I'm dumb. I don't actually think I'm dumb. I think I'm pretty cool.
I do too.
The sky it emits Jorge Marquez holograms. Bring your hollow coat.
That's pretty intense. The hollow coat.
Yeah.
All right.
I was inspired by the hollow tissues from the tattoo. Remember hollow tissues?
That's right, when the doctor, the Voyager doctor got sick.
And I remember when I read TV Guy Grayson, his one. Mm-hmm. I remember, Patrick, your criticism, well, I don't know if it was a criticism necessarily, but what you said sounded like a criticism. It's like, you were like, because his name's TV Guy Grayson, you were like, wow, you really went with that TV theme, didn't you? And like, first of all, yes.
You did the voice really well, too.
I know. I guess I'll just read his real quick, just so people know what we're talking about.
Okay, I guess so.
This is by TV Guy Grayson. Once was black and white. They added brilliance of light. Sun shines on the gray.
All right.
See, and so, as you said, I focused on the TV one a lot. But what maybe you didn't notice, because it was very super clever, is I also focused on the Grayson, because the last line was, sun shines on the gray.
Yeah, and black and white and Grayson.
I focused on two of the three parts of that name. TV Guy Grayson. You said I just focused on TV, but I focused on TV and Grayson.
All right. Well defended, Dan. And to the audience, if you want more of this, just write us reviews.
Yeah.
And by the way, let us know, because it turns out our review aggravator doesn't
review aggravator.
All. Well, we have a review aggravator, and it sends you an email every time you get a review.
Aggravator.
Did I say aggravator?
Yeah, you kept saying aggravator. I even corrected you. You said aggravator, and then you said,
aggravator.
He said, yeah, aggravator. Review aggravator. Yeah, that's what I said. It's like, yeah, I know you said that, but that's weird.
Well, it's the stress of life.
You can't even listen to yourself.
I can't. It's a problem. Anyway,
if
you want more of this, write us a review and shoot us an email, feedback@iscotstartrek.com, or find us on social media @iscotstartrek. Let us know you wrote the review and where. And when we confirm it, we'll write you a haiku and have more endless discussion of haikus, no doubt, in the future. Good thing to remind
folks. When you grow to like it too much.
A reminder, or maybe not a reminder, maybe this is news.
Remind them ups.
Next week, we will be starting our coverage, weekly coverage of the fifth and sadly final season of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Extraordinary.
So don't miss that or any of the subsequent 10 episodes of the podcast. It's a different vibe when we're covering it week to week. And we love Lower Decks, so we're going to be doing our best to enjoy. It'll no doubt be melancholy enjoying the last season.
Including perhaps the realization of your most impossible dream.
All right. It's a bit of a non sequitur, but...
No, it wasn't, because our most impossible dream is to watch a new season of Lower Decks.
Okay. All right.
But it is made a bittersweet, like you said, because it is the last season.
Yeah. Two more things.
Damn it to hell!
It really seems like folks like it when we do TOS. We always get a lot of downloads. Last week, we did What Are Little Girls Made Of? Maybe it's because of the penis rock. I don't know. It's just getting tons of fucking downloads. Gary Mitchell style. We'll get to that.
I'm not joking, Lee.
But this is a TNG episode. TNG also gets lots of downloads. If you are a TNG person, if you get any enjoyment out of our discussion of this, of Hide and Q, tell all your friends so we can see if we can get TNG to be downloaded even more. That would be fun. Because TNG people are competing with the TOSers.
Mm.
Tossers.
The tossers.
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 Okay, last thing, and then we'll
instead
get
of the tongers?
Tonger? Oh, yeah, tonger.
Tongers.
Tonger. Tonger and a tosser.
Tonger and a
Are
tosser.
Are you a tonger or a tosser? And I'm a dissener. Me, personally, I'm a dissener.
Quite right. So you should.
Okay. Last thing, honestly, for real, we promise, and then we'll actually discuss this thing, is we did have a couple weeks ago a duty or no duty, except it wasn't in the episode. It was in the podcast. So we're playing
Incredible.
Duty or no duty. Dan and Jesse, you decide. Let me play this quick clip from our podcast.
Out of the goodness of your heart.
Richard Fancy also played the Vulcan Captain Satelk in TNG's The First Duty, which is a Wesley.
Wait, episode. Now duty or duty for Patrick when he
oh,
just said.
Oh no! And now he can't play it back.
We're gonna have to do it next week then.
Okay,
next week, next duty or no duty later. For this. Right, mark this moment.
Mark this moment.
Mark,
mark this moment.
And can you? I said duty or duty the first time. I totally botched that.
Yeah, you did totally fuck it up.
I don't understand.
All right. So duty or no duty.
Well, you go first, Jesse.
It's duty or no duty, right?
Yeah, duty or no duty.
The same game we've played.
I say no duty.
All right.
As much as it pains me to have to say this, that's a no duty.
No duty?
Yeah.
TNG's The First Duty, which is...
I think you're right. First Duty.
It's a Wesley. Wait, now...
I enunciated very clearly.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
Good for you.
Oh, I thought you were about to do something.
No.
Oh, you made some
He's
sort
about
of,
to do his duty.
You look like you made some sort of motion. All right. Well, I know what
It's too soon for this.
You were probably about to start talking about...
How Paramount Plus doesn't use lowercase letters for their connecting words in their titles. It's called Hyde and Q in Paramount
Plus. You're not supposed to capitalize the and.
I know, and they do.
I know. What a bunch of bands.
Wait, they capitalize the and?
Yeah.
You oughtn't be doing that in this particular case.
I think they did it too with What Are Little Girls Made Of. They capitalized all
no,
of those.
Of?
What Are Little Girls... No, of I think makes sense because it's
No,
it's
what
like
are,
the end
are,
clause.
Are yeah, no, yeah, R.
Right,
R should R.
R,
I think,
R doesn't not... R
R's
does
lowercase.
I think in this case, R, I think... I don't know officially. I know it depends which style guide you're going by. You know, Chicago.
Style guide.
Oh, that's...
APA.
I think you're just saying that. I don't think you actually know which one.
I don't know which one. That's what I'm saying. I couldn't tell you. Because it's different depending.
It's depending.
A lot of titles these days are just sentence case. Blows my fucking mind. But that's the whole deal now. People are all about sentence case titles.
Are they camel case?
I don't know what that means.
It's when the first letter is lowercase. And, wait, no. The first part... Ugh. It's hard to explain. If you have a compound word, in the first word, it begins with a lowercase letter... Begins with a lowercase letter. Every other letter is lowercase except the start of each subsequent word.
All right. I didn't get any of that, but we'll discuss it at our first break, which we're getting perilously close to without talking about this episode.
Are you sleeping? If I made that one word, the R would be lowercase, then you sleeping. The Y and the
why are we doing
that? Y and the S would be.
Why would we do that?
That's for programming.
Oh, there
okay.
you go.
All right. It's one of those things.
That's why we don't get it.
All right. So, episode...
You might be right. The R might be capitalized. There was another episode I was thinking of. I can't... It was another episode.
Is there any chance
don't
we can...
think about the...
Is there any chance we can think about this episode?
How about this
one? It's called Hyde and Q.
What?
This episode, Hyde and Q.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know what this title means.
He's saying words. I don't know what they are.
I'm going to just move forward with this. The title
Maybe
confuses
tattoo.
Me.
That tattoo was supposed to be lowercase.
I think that the title, Hyde and Q, was just cute. They couldn't get away from it. They were like, this is such a cute title, even though it doesn't... Does this have any... Does Hyde and Q have anything to do with the plot of the movie? The TV show? The fucking TV show?
I don't think so.
We don't have time for these games.
Apparently
Did
we,
someone say game?
A deadly game? To the game.
Hide and seek is a game.
I mean, it's a game. It's not a game they play in this
episode. But it's a game.
It is a game. Okay.
That's all. I'm not saying it's a good connection.
No, you're right. You're
I'm
right.
not saying it's a good connection.
I think that's worth pointing out.
Yeah. It's okay. It's just, you know, that's just.
Ever since I don't remember when I first saw this episode. I think I've explained before. I started watching TNG in syndication in season 3, like sometime at either the beginning or near the beginning. So this is season 1. I didn't catch this until reruns.
This is probably one of the earliest memories I have of watching TNG. This is the, like, I'm sure I watched... Well, I just whistled. Sorry about that, guys. I'm sure
Are
I watched...
Are you a beaver?
I'm like that character, that beaver character in all those Disney movies.
Yeah, I think he's just the one, isn't it?
I thought...
Lady and the Tramp.
But he was also... But he was in Robin Hood with the foxes. Even? Yeah.
All right. I'm leaving.
Right on.
I'm leaving. Where are you going?
I said, I believe you.
Okay.
This guy.
What were we talking about?
We're trying to talk about Hyde and Q.
Oh, so you're talking about games.
And you're saying it's your first memory of TNG.
Oh, yeah, my first memory. Thank you. I might have had memories of TNG before that, but those memories have not been retrievable as of yet. I just have this memory of Wesley getting stabbed in the stomach, because that shit's pretty brutal.
Oh, yeah.
The fight with Worf was not so brutal.
No.
It was pretty weak,
It was
in fact.
Very weak that Worf just charged after some pig people and he got stabbed in like the lower belly.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious when he charged through that whole thing, because the whole scene was cheesy, and he's like running through the thing, and then like he kicked that one guy's ass, but he couldn't even get through two guys, or did he take two guys and got killed on the
third? It was just bayonets. He's used to fighting like batleths and stuff.
Yeah, like we saw Worf in DS9 take out like all these dudes in a row in that gladiator one.
Was sort of neutered. I don't know. That's probably not the best word.
So, when he charged
underpowered.
Worf has underpowered. Worf has changed. But what I was gonna say about that fight is I think he got knocked out on like the second guy or something, yeah. And it was a really bad like stage shot. Like
the choreography in this episode. The great episode. I really enjoy this episode.
It is enjoyable.
The choreography was fun, and it was just a weird. First of all, like you're describing this fight choreography,
and you can
was
tell
off.
Like when the bayonet goes in him, you can tell they're just stabbing behind him. Like it just doesn't. They didn't try too hard on some of
those choreography
angles.
Of the soldiers just milling about in completely nonsensical fashion in their weird little camp. Right, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because it's you got a guy who's like on. He's doing like a patrol maneuver. Inside the camp, just like walking around the tents and stuff. It's, I don't know. It was very, very odd.
These animal things.
Vicious animal things.
Animal things.
I was thrown off and did not like this. Because,
the animal things?
Yeah, because first of all, it's a weird assumption to make. Why not just assume there's some aliens?
I know, right, exactly.
Just like some aliens.
How do they look any different?
Universal translators not working.
Yeah, how do they look any different from most aliens?
Very peculiar.
And actually, but I mean, this is the first season, but still, like, it's not a far-fetched to say that they could see an alien.
And it's not
like
just
that.
It was that it became this weird, almost sort of a running gag.
Yeah.
Like, no one's laughing, but they just keep referring...
Those soldier things.
These animal things.
Vicious animal things.
Animal things.
Yep.
They're objectifying and sort of reducing in stature what appear to be clearly sentient creatures.
Pig people. They're pig people.
They're like pig monster people.
Definitely pig
monster. I mean, it's okay. You can call them a pig monster, but they're not an animal thing. Come on.
And did
vicious animal thing.
Oh, and did you hear that?
Vicious.
The part where Data was trying to bullshit Picard, LaForge was asking Data to explain the people because, like, he was just like animal things.
Oh,
and that's when Picard was like,
animal things.
Then Data goes, "You may find it aesthetically displeasing, sir. I could just file a computer report on that." Okay, number one.
And he was all like, "Data."
Yeah, right.
Data.
Right. So, like, was Data, like, just basically saying, like, I don't know how to explain it either, but I'm too embarrassed to admit it? Like, what was going
on there? It was part of the running joke that even Data, a logical android with no emotions right. and who should in no way ever be embarrassed about anything, is finding it awkward. These creatures
awkward.
Are intended to be so fucking vile, so horrific that
vicious.
they're like Cthulhu or something that even an android can't bring himself to describe
vicious
them for fear of going mad. Right? It's some sort of Lovecraftian nightmare instead of these sort of somewhat sort of amusing. Slow-moving pig people.
Penguin monsters.
So, I was gonna say about Worf, he was a little UP on the
little
first
UP.
Season, but also, like, he was more animalistic. It was, first of all...
A lot more growling.
There was, he growled. This is a weak little growl. And apparently, Klingons just cannot stop themselves from having sex in front of everybody when a woman starts, like, getting on with them. Because, like Geordi was all...
It was weird.
That was definitely weird.
Yeah, what was it that he said?
Geordi was like, "Is that how you have sex or something?"
And then,
is this your idea of sex?
And then he goes,
"This is sex."
This is sex. Like, whoa.
Right.
So you're
I have no place for it in my life now.
So he's saying, like, I'm having sex in front of you right now. It was weird, and they just
strange.
Can't. It's a normal in the Klingon culture because they're more like these kind of wild animals, and I'm glad they kind of moved away from that.
Me,
like,
you, and me both, brother.
Yeah. Really.
Because that was,
but it
was
weird that it was on the same level as Geordi getting his regular vision back, and Wesley becoming a buff man.
Okay. First of all, Wesley becoming 10 years older, like there's so many better wishes than that. Because in order to be 10 years older, you just wait 10 years.
Yeah.
Like there's so many other things to have. But
it's like Riker doesn't know everybody well enough yet to be making these kind of calls. Like
it's only been 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But he does some magic on Wesley, does some magic on Geordi, and he just gets like. Worf, like a wife.
He's like, just want to get laid.
Just
not even
some,
a wife. He's just
not even a wife.
Laid.
Just a
I don't know. That was so. Would that go under one of the offensive parts to you, Patrick?
Yeah, sort of. Because there were multiple angles where it was a little weird. First of all, yes, the whole animalistic
also,
Klingon thing. I don't know. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Also,
with
his
that.
Sash changes over time. His sash looked.
His
different.
Sash gets better. Oh, you know, first season. Oh, dude, look at the uniforms. Because
your sash changes.
Oh, shit.
We're watching this in the old.
No!
HD on these big giant TVs, and it's hilarious when you look at the uniforms. Sometimes the TNG uniforms aren't even as well tailored as the TOS uniforms. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, you see, like, stains and shit like that.
Well, it's real quick, it's interesting looking at the bridge. Like, it's so 80s look, like, with the carpet. I mean, they've even made fun of that carpet. I think they did in Picard or something.
Yes.
But that carpet, I love the carpet. Yes. I would have no other way. But looking back on that now is not too dissimilar from looking back at TOS's bridge. They're both the same.
Or that exactly, leather, that particular type of leather of the captain's chair. Right. That you get a super close up right. when Q is sitting on it.
It's like
a
psychologist's office or something.
Yeah, and it's like they don't use that, like that color of leather went out of style in 1987.
Right. So it's equally like corny, but like in a totally different way. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, what's not so corny is sticking to our regular format, which includes two commercial breaks. And we're going to take one right now. We'll take another one later, about 30 minutes a piece, or in between, I should say. It's been close to 30 minutes. So
are you vamping?
No, I'm not vamping.
You're waiting for this timer to hit 30.
Well, it doesn't need to hit exactly 30.
That's what I'm saying, but you're the one vamping.
Because I'm going to have to cut out like half that shit you just said.
Oh, fuck you. You motherfucker.
All right. We will be right back.
Game penalty.
All right, I'm going to push play.
And we're back.
All right, and we're back.
Penalty over.
All right, well done.
You came out of nowhere.
I like that name. Mm-hmm. Well done.
I'm clever.
All right.
I'm a clever guy.
We do have a very brief second break fun 'em up.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Did someone say games?
Sort of.
I don't think so.
This might not quite qualify as a game.
I don't think anybody said
I was.
You seem to find this all very amusing.
I was just going to ask you all if you can remember, this is a Q episode, right? Yes. If you can remember, what other episodes of Star Trek have we covered? Q episodes of Star
Trek.
Well,
Encounter at Farpoint was the first appearance of Q.
That's right. Hold on. Let me check it out.
All I'm saying is this is the second appearance.
Good. You remembered it. I'm checking that up. That's two.
Wait, we can't do this episode. This episode doesn't count. You can't name the episode that you're doing.
It's not points.
What?
Are you trying to get points?
No, well, I'm just saying.
You've got 2 points.
Name the podcast we've done with Q that has been based on Q. We haven't done this episode yet.
We're doing it.
Yes, but we haven't done it.
We've done Q Who.
I'll give you half a point.
I didn't want any points.
Jesse's right. Q Who. Okay, let's back up. We did
Is this only TNG?
Well, no. So All of them. Hold on a second. We did Encounter at Farpoint. In episode 2 of the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if it's any good, that episode. But anyway, we did episode 2.
What was number 1?
That was The Cage and Where No Man Has Gone Before, because we did the pilots in order.
Yes.
TOS through...
I'm not jokingly.
Picard. Mm. Hyde and Q we're doing now in episode 261.
Doesn't count.
Q Who, Jesse said Q Who. We did that in episode...
We did the Deep Space Nine.
We did that in... Q Who was episode 219 of IGST. We did not do Q Less, which is
don't worry,
which is Deep Space Nine.
Oh, did we do a
we've talked
a
about
Voyager
it.
Q? Is there a Voyager Q?
There's a few Voyager Qs.
Did we do one of them?
We did. Do you know the name?
No.
Dan, do you remember the name of the Voyager? We did two Voyager Q episodes.
It's one where the Q dies. The Q wants to die.
Yes. And do you know what that episode's called?
Oh, fuck me.
It's called Death Wish.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And then we did the follow-up. There was a follow-up to Death Wish.
The joke is you.
It's the Civil War one. The Q Civil War.
And that's a TNG?
That's a Voyager.
That's a Voyager. Oh.
The Q and the Gray.
Jeez, I'm useless.
The Q and the Gray. So we did Death
Wish. What about Picard?
We did Death Wish. Hold on. We did Death Wish in episode 228. We did the Q and the Gray in episode 203. I'm not counting Picard. Like, Picard, yes. Q showed up in a bunch of the Star Trek.
You said any Star Trek.
Okay. I mean Q episodes, though. Let's forget about Picard.
And damn it, Q.
He also shows up on in Veritas in Lower Decks. I'm just talking about the core, like the episode is really just like a single episode about Q. You're missing one that we've done and five that we haven't done.
These are the complaints of a closed mind.
All right. Deja Q. We also did Deja Q.
Let us do no such damn thing.
In episode 62. of It's Got Star Trek.
Which one is that?
I think that's where he becomes human.
Okay. Did we do? We haven't done the one with the Robin Hood.
No, that's Cupid.
Cupid
in TNG.
That one sucks.
Yeah.
Can you think of a couple others? There's a couple other.
There's
a bunch of TNG ones
like
you
the,
should
I am
get.
Not a merry man.
Yeah, that's like the only worthwhile part of that episode.
I don't know.
Jordy's like strumming away. He's obviously playing some bullshit. It's like bray-o, bray-o, bray-o.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I always remember. I have a fondness for Cupid.
You've gone too far.
It sucks in a charming sort of.
All right, there's four more TNG episodes, or no, three more TNG episodes, and one Voyager episode.
We've done all these Q episodes?
No, these are the ones we haven't done now.
Oh.
We've covered all the ones we've done. We haven't done Cupid. We haven't done Q less. There's a couple other big ones. Q, big time Q TNG episodes that you will remember the title to.
Isn't like the finale?
That's right. And what's that called?
All good things.
All good things, yes.
That's right.
We didn't do all good things.
No, we didn't. I'm explaining. We've already covered. We've done...
Listen, man.
We did Encounter at Farpoint, Hide and Q Who, Deja Q, Death Wish, and the Q in the Gray. We have not done Cupid, Tapestry. Oh, shit. Guys, you didn't guess that one yet. We haven't done Cupid, All Good Things, Q-less, Tapestry, because I shouted it out.
Mm.
One more. Well, you won't remember. True Q. That's when Olivia Dabo's... Miriam Dabo's daughter, Olivia Dabo, shows up and...
she was in the Wonder Years, wasn't she?
That is, yes. And in Conan the Destroyer.
Well, her mother was in the James Bond movie. Was it The Living Daylights?
Right, something like that.
Yeah, that was True Q. The last one was Q2. That was on Voyager. We haven't done that one yet. That's where Q has a son. Mm. And I think the son is creepy to 7 of 9.
Hey,
I bet it.
Wes.
Hey.
Everybody's creepy to 7 of 9.
Yeah. For real.
Everybody That's when he makes her clothes go
in
off.
In real life.
It is. Are games a good way to judge people, you think? What do you think?
What?
This was presented this was asserted in this episode by in different ways.
I want to know.
Q asserted it and Picard sort of agreed.
It's a good way to observe how people are, how people interact.
And then
I don't know about judging people, but it's a good way to learn things about people.
Well, what was it? He was like something about, he says, wasn't it Hartley who said, nothing reveals humanity so well as the games it plays? And then he goes, like, actually, you reveal yourselves best in how you play. I don't know if that's really true either.
I was thinking about it.
I don't think how you play reveals more of yourself than, like, what you play. But, I mean, it's one facet of
I
it,
I think
sure.
it does in
it's,
the sense of
facet.
He was just trying
to be dramatic, I think.
No,
when he said that, he was just being dramatic. Because it's both how you play and what you play.
Let me see if I can convince you over to Q's perspective. Because
he's nothing but a flim-flam man.
Flim-flam.
Yeah, that's true. But I agree with his perspective in this case because, for example...
Flim-flam.
All three of us... That was one of my favorite parts of the episode. Can you play that again?
Flim-flam. He's nothing but a flim-flam man. Flim-flam. He's nothing but a flim-flam man.
That's such a great line.
Flim-flam man.
All three of us have, from time to time, partaken in... Magic the Gathering, right? That's a game, right? Magic the Gathering
totally.
Is the game. So all three
yes,
of us,
it is.
All three of us play that
so
game.
So you're going to talk about me and playing blue.
It's
and
a hell of a
like
game.
That.
Not specifically, I wasn't going to actually reveal that you have
we should play Magic.
A certain affinity for blue in Magic, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody says
you've
that.
Gone too far.
I like blue.
No, nobody thinks that blue is cheating.
I like blue.
Man.
Nobody thinks that it's sort of an underhanded, sneaky color.
I like
you've
blue.
Gone too far.
But the point is
the
that
the joke is you.
The Q has muddled your mind.
Ridiculous.
The choice of the game in this example would be Magic, but we're all making the same choice. So if it reveals anything, it would reveal the same thing about all three of us. However, how we play the game, in other words,
yes.
how we design our decks and actually utilize the cards, that's different. And that's not what you were saying is just the picking of the game.
No, I said it was both. Play back the tape. I swear to you, I said, because Q said, you reveal yourselves best in how you play.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, it's not how, that's not true. It's both how you play and what you play.
I get what you're saying. I think it's more how you play. Because I think it's agnostic to the game.
But your example doesn't give any reason as, your example stresses the importance of how you play if you're playing the same game. I'm saying, well, if you're playing different games, that's going to be more important than how you play. That's like, true. It depends on what, it depends on the situation.
All
so,
right, new question.
Because you can't simply say it doesn't matter at all what you play. Of course it matters. It's like nature versus nurture. It's both. We okay. all, you know, it's all everything. Right. It's the alpha and the omega.
It's a heady philosophical question. You've convinced me of that. New question.
Quite right. So you should.
What do you think about fairness or unfairness when it comes to games? Q makes a big deal about fairness being such a human conceit. Now, I think he's being a bit Western-centric in his thinking.
Western-centric.
But, yeah, what do you think about
that? Think imaginatively.
Do you think a game can or should be unfair?
Well, I mean, it's more fun when it's fair.
Well,
and except if it's unfair in your favor. But even then, that can suck, too.
The concept of a game is that it's sort of a level... bunch of fairness, and there's rules, and you're playing it. You know,
some people, though, like don't care if they're cheating or not. To them, all that matters is that they win,
which fascinates me.
And even though they're cheating, they consider it like cheating is part of the game. Like, it's like if you can trick people, that you're winning.
Do we know somebody like that?
We know a few people. Oh, okay,
because it's like larger than the game itself is just like life getting away with whatever you want in life or something. I don't know. It's just this whole philosophy of like if you can get away with it, it's implicit to implicit to every game is what you can get away with.
I thought for a second that you said implicitude, and I was like, whoa,
implicitude,
consonant, awesome, fucking awesome new word.
Like I was consonantly implicitude. It was the implicitude. The implicitude of my consonants.
Well, I bring that up.
I fear the implicitude of my consonants.
I fear it now, too.
I bring up that whole question about the fairness and also about the how you judge people thing, sort of as two examples of many in this episode that on the surface seems like a fairly sort of by the numbers 80s sci-fi, like we're going through this like little plot. But I think it's so well constructed that all along the way in some ways, almost similar to last week, when we were talking about what are little girls made of, it brought up a lot of philosophical questions, but didn't necessarily examine them. This one also brought up a lot of questions, but it was almost hiding some of them. Stuff Picard was saying and Q and Riker, like there was just all this back and forth and everything opened up a new, like you could have a total debate about each of those things.
No. Can you name a scene in particular?
Well, like, for example, what we were just talking about with the argument about the fairness of games. And then in the same basic scene about the which games you pick or how you judge people, how they play.
Worf says, if your game is fair, we will win. But like Q said, fairness is such a human concept. Yeah. Now, I know Worf was raised by humans, but he's not human.
Yeah, good point.
You know, but he was raised by humans.
But another aspect is this episode is yet another Star Trek episode which deals with, at least in some way, deals with apotheosis or a mortal becoming, transitioning to becoming a god. And that's not an uncommon
thing. I'm not joking, Lee.
Yes, exactly. Gary Mitchell. There's a lot of there's a lot of references to Gary Mitchell in this episode. Where No Man Has Gone Before, Gary Mitchell basically becomes a god. What Are Little Girls Made Of? It's making androids, but there's still similar thematic stuff going on there. Strange Energies in Lower Decks.
Totally.
Another one. But in this episode, something I didn't notice before was that Riker does the sleepy Gary Mitchell eyes at one point, right when he beams everybody back or cues everybody back to the Enterprise.
Wait, he said some shit, right? He says, not if I have anything to do with it.
He said it just like that.
He said, not if I have anything to do with it.
And that's not all.
That was it.
Yeah. And then he flicked his hand all crazy.
And that's not all.
And then went, bing.
But so this episode deals with that and the apotheosis, but he does all these Gary Mitchell things like he laughs on a rock.
Right.
Gary Mitchell, one point is like laughing on a rock.
Well, after he warps him back to the ship, it's kind of bizarre because like he all warps him back to the ship and he's standing all aloof and evil looking with
and
his
doing
arms,
Gary Mitchell sleepy
arms. He was like doing his he was folding his arms and when
petulant god pose.
And when Picard was like, that's what Q would have done, he smirks.
Yes.
Whenever you read a book and they talk about that character leered or they smirked, I'm always like wondering what that actually would look like.
That's a smirk.
That was a smirk.
That was a Riker smirk.
That was a Riker smirk.
Some beautiful fucking blue eyes
that guy
too.
Did you also notice that Riker near the beginning of the episode, it was like I think it was Geordi and Data in front and Riker was behind them on a rock and he put his leg up on the rock in the most like
Riker style.
Riker style. He is like wasn't a chair, so he just found the side of a rock and put his foot up there on it. Didn't look too comfortable. And when he sat down to talk to Picard about his newfound god powers, which they never bothered to like report to Starfleet or anything like that, they just had a casual conversation about like, well, geez, I don't know if this is a good idea. But
meanwhile, he's got fucking sort of put out.
Well, it's almost like Riker had to have an intervention. It was like talking about like he was like addictive behavior because he was like, you can't use it, you can't even, because if you use a little, use a lot. And then they had that intervention at the end.
Yeah.
But when Riker sat down, when they were having that conversation with him and Picard, he sat down and was it, is it, it's not man spreading, is it ball showing, or what's it called when men sit down and spread their legs really wide on the subway?
I thought that is man. That is man spreading.
Is it man spreading?
Yes.
It's mansplaining or something?
No. Mansplaining.
Mansplaining. I know what that is.
It's different than mansplaining.
I know. I didn't say splain. I said splay.
I know.
Splay.
Yes. It's not mansplaining.
He's splaying his legs.
Yes. I understand the term and it works.
With immutable consonants.
It's not the common.
But anyway, so like I was just saying, like Riker, you know, he did his Riker foot and he did his Riker leg spread. You know, he's like,
well, so anyway, I'm saying that's another philosophical thing. Is this whole there are multiple questions they have about what happens if you become a god? One question is it possible to refuse to use those powers? Is that even a possible thing?
Okay, so
does absolute power corrupt absolutely?
So this whole scene, where
power corrupts.
That's what you were saying.
And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
The whole scene where he doesn't save that little girl's life, it was a little confusing. Not confusing, but it was, I felt inconsistent because,
Prime Directive sometimes be.
When he went, what I was going to say is when he went to the door, first he tried to open it and couldn't open it. Let's say, Riker, let's say this was a normal episode. Yeah. I would think if Data was around, you wouldn't even try to open it unless you're trying to prove some kind of manhood. Just like have Data do it.
Right.
But the problem here is that he had god powers. And it's like, I know Riker said he wouldn't use his god powers, but that's like if you're conjuring like weird fireballs and things.
They wrote that on the day. So Gene Roddenberry was probably like, we need to demonstrate that he's not using his god powers. How do we do that? Yeah. Let's have him have trouble opening a door.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because when you lift weights and get stronger, it's not like you can like notice it like lifting heavier things feels the same.
You would think that he would just open it.
Yeah, he would open it because like when you get stronger, you can lift heavy things with the same facility that when you were weaker, you could lift lighter things in a direct proportion.
Of course, the gimmick with god powers is you can do whatever you want. You could imagine that he doesn't have god
powers. Right. You know? Yeah, that's lame. Lame.
I know. It's inherently lame. I mean, the problem with Q is such an awesome character and Q works for two reasons. They generally wrote his stories well, and John DeLancey is just brilliant. Otherwise, having an omnipotent or close to omnipotent character is a problem.
Okay, so
it's a problem because you can always say, "Wait, this doesn't make sense." Wouldn't Q already have knowledge of the future? Is he trying to change the past? What exactly is going on here? Doesn't he see all of time? Like, what exactly does it mean that he's omnipotent and omniscient? You know.
So on that same subject. They start talking about like, you know, how Q is his god powers and how Q admires Riker because like, and he actually admires humans. First of all, he didn't want to go after Picard. They said, because the idea was, I guess Picard was too much of like a play by the rules kind of guy and Riker's more of a maverick. But do you think that they would have preferred Picard? That's just another way of them saying like, they felt Riker was strong, but he was weak enough to be like overpowered. Like what they were basically saying is Picard has like too much constitution. But
I also think I read somewhere that the original draft had Picard being offered the powers, but then they were like, you know what? It's more interesting to have Riker.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's the case.
Totally.
He talks about like humans advancing and Q says, Riker says, have you any idea how far we'll advance? And then Q says, perhaps in a future that you cannot yet conceive, even beyond us. So Q's are omnipotent or near omnipotent, but somehow humans can get beyond that, which is weird.
Like, what does that mean?
And what was interesting is early...
Does humans keep advancing or something?
So
they keep changing up.
They're already talking about like Q's being omnipotent. Like you can't get any better than omnipotent, you know.
It was also,
but I was going to say then.
We'll have to see.
Earlier in the episode, they actually mirrored a similar sentiment when it was
this guy's not omnipotent.
so Oh, yeah, before... Okay, here it is. Before in the episode, Q and Picard are talking. Q says, surely you don't really see your species like that, do you? And Picard says, I see us one day becoming that, Q. Is that what concerns you? And that's in reference to a line he read from Hamlet, where it was talking about how, like, humans are like an angel, like a god, basically. So
apotheosis.
So, like, and so in two separate... Apotheosis. So this is, like, Q being, like... Earlier in the episode, Q's like, you don't think humans can get better than Q, can you? And Picard's like, well, maybe. But then later in the episode, Q's the one who's telling Riker that humans can get better than Q. So, like, he's saying one thing in one place and something else in an entirely different place. But, yeah, I was wondering if he said all that and he really meant it, or if he was just trying to, like, get in Riker's pants, you know? Do you think he was just blowing smoke up his ass? Do you think Q really thinks that humans can advance beyond him?
He kind of got the impression that it was somewhat sincere. Hard to say, but John Delancey
seems sincere.
There's a flavor to him when he's being impish Q versus sincere Q. And I think he was in sincere Q mode. That being said, this is only the second episode that Q ever appeared in. Mm. I do think it is the last episode that we see the Q force field stuff.
Oh, right. So remember, I not everyone has heard this, but when we did the 5 minutes on Encounter at Farpoint, remember?
Ah, yes. For the upcoming new podcast project that's coming out.
Uh-huh. So
secret podcast project. It won't be secret for much longer.
No, because I'm going to tell you all about it right now. Yes. No, I do... Are we under contract not to talk about it?
I don't know.
Do we have the rights
to talk about Encounter at Farpoint?
To broadcast or recount events from, like in, you know, NFL. But at one point I'm talking about a Q shield. And in my memory, it was the Q shield was literally like thousands of Qs intertwined on arms and legs in like a big mesh. That's what I had in my brain.
And then when you said that, it went into my brain, and that's how I remember it too.
And then when I saw this episode, I was like, yeah, there's the shield. And that's exactly the shield I remember. I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was this one. I thought it was in Farpoint. But then I was like, oh, it's in both. And then I was like, oh, it's not a bunch of fucking Qs. It's some weird Q lasers or something.
Q
I don't know.
Q lasers. Well, now we've piqued people's interest because of the secret... multi-podcast universe group project that's going on.
Yeah.
It's going to come out.
Quite right. So you should.
In the not-too-distant future. Keep your ears...
A warrior's reaction.
Indeed.
Did you hear Worf's all talking about himself? He's like...
A warrior's reaction.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's like, I'm a warrior, man. You know?
I'm a warrior, man.
The Third Ridge.
Mm-hmm. Moving well, too.
Yeah.
Why was Data so flabbergasted by that?
I laughed so hard.
And then, like, Worf jumps up out of nowhere. He's all like, drop your weapons.
And it doesn't look like he's like...
A warrior's reaction.
He's not like when he's like... when Worf is scouting out the Napoleonic, whatever, the monster people.
The French.
Yes, the Napoleonic people. It doesn't. He's all just like standing up behind a rock, looking at him. It doesn't look like he's hidden that well. And then he runs away. Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to run." I don't know. Again, it goes back to that choreography for this episode not being the best. But I thought they did pretty good considering their exotic planet, their rock planet, was just some sort of rock scattered about, and then had
a neat looking sky.
And it was all weird that they were there and then left back to the ship and then went back and Geordi was all like, not this fucking shit again.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Come on, not again.
He seemed really pissed off.
Speaking of the sky, that was also very first season looking because it kind of looked like a TOS shot.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Except, so it was like some kind of seafoam green sky.
With some floaty moons.
And that's the thing that it had that the TOS wouldn't have. So there was a little, I think there was a little more gradient to the sky or at least a little bit more feeling of three dimensions, but there was also the two moons, which they wouldn't have had.
Matte painting.
Two moons.
Yeah, the TOS would have just had some like studio ceiling covered in a certain color. Yeah.
Or it would be all a very 2D matte painting. 2D. A very nice one.
2D.
A very 2D. Well done
2D
one.
No 2D. 2D. Oh,
no. Oh, no. Would you want Q powers?
Yeah, why not?
I think I would.
I'd want Q powers, but I wouldn't want to know everything because that would just get boring. I want Q powers, but I don't want to be omnipotent.
Yeah, I guess we have to go by the assumption that Q are not actually omnipotent because otherwise they couldn't tell any of these stories.
Well, like
these stories wouldn't make any sense. So there is some limitation. They are not omnipotent.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they were talking about humans evolving past Q.
Precisely. It's like,
you can't evolve past
mean?
Something that is omnipotent.
It's one of those aggravating terms.
You'll see, Dan. You'll see.
You'll see.
Or aggregating terms.
It's too soon for this.
Was that ADR they were using for Daddy Wesley?
Yes. Daddy Wesley. Big thick jawed Think John Wesley.
That was awesome that they used this. Commander Riker, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's honest.
He goes, Commander Riker, it's too soon for this.
Yeah.
And then like Riker goes, if this is because your mother objects, and he's like, no, I just want to get there. Like, what is that supposed to mean? Is he going to be like, if she objects, fuck her? Right. Like, you know, yeah. Like what
it's
is
like
it?
She is
like, what if she
mother.
Did object?
He's
like,
oh, a minor.
He's
broads.
Like, he's like, if this is because she objects, it's like, then what? Then he's it like, doesn't matter?
He's 15 or 16 at this stage. He's a minor, presumably. I don't know what Federation law is. Maybe they regressed in that way. They progressed in many other ways, but they're like, you know what? We're going to lower the age of consent.
Have your favorite wish, my young friend.
Are these truly your friends, brother?
Riker said some weird things to Wesley.
The whole Wesley thing was sort of interesting because, first of all, Wesley gets stabbed through the back in the same
way.
That
was awesome.
In the same way that Picard gets stabbed in the back when he's young, that we see in Tapestry, which is another Q episode. And it's much later, of course.
Have your favorite wish, my young friend.
I was going to ask you guys, forget about Q powers, because like, yeah, Q is like, Q thinks he's going to win Picard's bet because he's like, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. The whole mafia thing, which is like, yeah, I'll give him God powers. And neither of you guys refused it. I probably wouldn't refuse it, even though, you know, it's got to be some sort of monkey's paw type business. But anyway,
well, it kind of was a little bit, it wasn't in the irony, but it was in the sense that it was unfortunate because then he had to like do shit like watch people die
but,
and save him. But that
should,
was because
he started a monkey paw business.
But that's because he was trying to resist it. It just didn't, I just didn't, the Riker heel turn when he was like standing there like Gary Mitchell. It's just, it was hard
with
to
the
buy.
Gary Mitchell eyes. And by the way, the Gary Mitchell eyes were because Gary Mitchell's contact lenses, his God eyeball contact lenses, were from the 60s and they were made of like shards of glass. Yeah. So he, like his eyes were, so he had to have his eyes all half closed and they were like swollen and stuff.
It was like a rim of metal.
But Riker did something.
It was just
similar.
So weird to see Riker turn like that and suddenly beat some asshole. So anyway, you guys were saying
I just wanted to.
Are you wondering where Marina Sirtis was this episode? Is that
no,
what
they dropped her off on some planet.
Yeah, I know. But they made that very clear at the beginning that she was not going to be in this
episode.
She
thought she was getting dropped.
Supposedly, it was a last minute thing that she wasn't available. I wasn't able to find out information why. And they just transferred her. They added that line about her being dropped off and transferred some of her lines to Tasha Yar, I guess. I just didn't want to let it go unremarked that Jesse seems to be advocating for starting a business where we sell monkey paws.
Monkey paw, because you said about monkey paw business.
Which would inherently involve having to purchase and or breed monkeys and sever their hands.
I think that's illegal.
I'm very positive it's illegal. Yes. That did not seem to be one of your primary concerns.
That's very low in legality.
Okay. So Q powers, most people are going to say yes, or they'll say no because of the monkey's paw business. However, what about Q present? What if Riker was standing in front of you and was asking you what
Q past?
What Q present would you...
Like what present would Q give me on my birthday?
What Q present, future. What present would Riker give you? Really, what present would you want? So not the... Riker doesn't know us, so he's not going to assume, but
they
what,
had some serious...
What
had,
would
they,
you want?
They Data had that literal like Wizard of Oz Tin Man thing going on where like where he was like going to make him... He was going to be like...
Data was like, no!
No, sir. No.
Yeah,
but that was like just like the Wizard of Oz. What Q power would I have? I don't know. It would have, but I'd have to think of something that was like that cleverly, that was poetic and clever.
I mean,
about
do you want like a PS5 or something?
But I mean, that doesn't count. That's not like Geordi gets eyes. Data gets to be a human.
You're a human.
A human. Worf gets to have sex because that's really important.
How about like breathe underwater?
That's not. But there's nothing poetic about that.
Why does it have to be poetic?
You could experience some stuff and write some poems about
it. It has to be something that is personally like adversary.
You've always wanted to breathe underwater.
And no, a point of adversity that has been like bringing you down and dogging you throughout life. What would like, you know, Geordi doesn't have eyes. You know, he gets eyes.
Just to clarify, Geordi does have eyes.
Yes, he doesn't see.
He simply,
of
course, he lacks sight, but he lacks sight through his biological eyes, but he can see through his visor. He can see just fine. In fact, he can see even arguably better.
Yeah. Completely unfair.
All kinds of shit.
Riker made a bunch of sort of somewhat offensive assumptions. First of all, that Geordi would want to have eyesight,
and Worf's wish that's on the same thing. You know, I think I said that already.
And you already mentioned that, Dan, that the Wesley assumption was sort of a silly assumption.
And so just like earlier, Geordi goes,
hey, Wes.
Yeah.
Not bad.
He looks at Tasha and goes,
you're as beautiful as I imagined.
I forgot about that. Also,
Delor.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with the level
that was
of...
weird.
Jordy sexually harassed two separate people.
What's up with the general level of professionalism in this whole episode? We got to go to break soon. But like,
this is when Jordy's a bridge.
But there was another point in this episode that was rather unprofessional, I would say.
And what was that?
Well, we got to go to break. It's a teaser.
Okay.
Oh, you're teasing.
It's not a cold open. It's a teaser.
I get what...
Teasy Glaubitz.
Teasy Glaubitz. Am I starting too soon? Should we wait another couple...
He's dangling a teasy Glaubitz.
You're right. It is break time. So we're going to take the break and then... Dan, this is great. I don't know what this is going to be. I'm excited. Wow. Jesse, are you excited?
Yeah, man.
I'm excited.
Egg salad.
This better be good.
This better be.
This better be fucking good, Dan. We'll be right back.
Let us pray.
Cabbage pray.
Arlie Ermey. Arlie Ermey. All right, ready? Good to go?
You made it sound silly.
Good to go? Click. We're good to go. That means
shields and deflectors up, sir.
We're fucking back.
Back online, sir. They were never off.
Do you remember this character?
Back online, sir. They were never off.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, he was a good character.
Totally.
Yeah.
Back online, sir. Really they were never off.
There's a classic, like a no person, like probably uncredited, son, like ramp, sir,
Was that guy even in the? Was he just a disembodied voice, or did you actually see that guy? I don't
know. No, he's just a voice. I think on the intercom.
You just
right?
see him somewhere.
Yeah, because Picard is calling down to engineering.
Calling down.
Isn't that what you do?
The creeps.
Yeah. Well, it's way down. It's several decks down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ooh, can't just shout.
Yeah.
It's not a screaming
shout down a tube.
It's like not a screaming like shout. A that music you played going into the break.
The bleeps.
Oh, it hurts me.
The sweeps. The creeps.
That one always blew my mind, that last one. <I know.
laughs> Yeah, that's great. All right, the music you played.
Yes.
The monk music.
The monkey music.
That was cool.
Yeah, I was really into that.
I really like that. That's I like the music in this episode.
Yeah,
even
it's
though
good.
It's still, it's very harsh and synthy. Season one is, they didn't get the full orchestra till season three, but they still had really great musicians working on it. It was synth heavy, but it was otherworldly and interesting and aggressive.
Yeah, I named that one on my sound file. It's called Holy Outro.
Because
that's what it
Holy
was.
Holy Outro, Batman.
Yeah, no, that was one of my more favoritester.
I'd say it's
keep
favorite.
More favoritester.
Just keep saying it over and
Star
over
Trek
again.
Star Trek riffs. I like that one. That one's like way up there. And then there, of course, there's
way up there.
Yeah,
yeah, from TAS.
No, that's it. That's a great
That's
one.
A good one. That's a good one. Yeah. So you were talking earlier, Patrick, about like how they explore all these sort of philosophical things, but there's like little side stories they seem to be approaching. Like, you know, there was the whole gag about the lemonade, right? Like Riker was like talking about some old fashioned,
just like they like in Alaska, right?
Right.
Yeah,
old fashioned lemonade. That's where you think about. Husky, Alaska boys, on a dog sled, you think of just slurping down some cool lemonade.
I was just thinking about an old fashioned lemonade.
He gave everyone the drink of their choice, and Data got a drink. Why did Data get
a drink?
And
he all like
it was probably olive oil or something.
It's olive oil, or olive you mean oil. Motor oil? But there was another side story that also was unprofessional, to which I was teasing prior to the break.
Are you a fucking lawyer? Are you a lawyer now? Why are you talking like that? What's going on?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
What's happening?
What's happening now? Tasha Yar goes to the penalty box.
Yes.
Right?
She gets all scared.
Yeah.
Game penalty!
And so he describes what the deal with the game penalty box is, right? He says only one person can be in it at a time, and then if, like, a new person comes in, the old person goes...
into nothingness.
Nothingness.
When Tasha Yar got back on the ship, she told Picard the rules. She filled him in on the rules.
Yeah.
But she had already warped away by the time Q explained the rules. So we can only assume that he just like in her brain or something.
Downloaded it into her brain.
Yeah, but
I agree.
It's a little bit too much to assume. But what I was really... But then there was this whole fucking weird scene with her and Picard. Like this fucking line from Picard.
There is a new ship standing order on the bridge. When one is in the penalty box, T
tears are permitted.
Like, what is that? That's like the most like un-Picard kind of like thing to fucking
see. I know, right?
I don't know. I thought it was sweet.
It was ridiculous.
It's sweet, but it's like not quite Picard.
Yeah, it was like really out of character.
He likes to help people.
But I mean, it's like, it's okay if you want to cry.
He rescued her from like a rape planet.
He's not like a Mr. You know,
granted, she died later.
No,
but,
like
know.
He'll totally rescue you, but he's not going to be like.
He's not a cry on my.
Now you can cry about it.
Yeah, he's not. He's not a cry on my shoulder type of guy. And he's a captain, and he's basically saying to his crew, "It's like you're allowed to cry on. You know, it just seems like a weird thing for a captain to tell someone. But then, it was made a lot worse when she responds with,
"Captain, oh, if you weren't a captain."
Okay. I forgot
is
about
this
that.
Your idea of sex?
Like what the?
I totally forgot about that.
It's so weird.
When I watched it for this week's episode,
I guess she's got a type.
That's a strange fucking show. This 1987 early or mid. Wait, what do you call that? It's like not mid 80s. It's
late
like post mid 80s.
Post mid 80s
or early late 80s.
It would be post mid 80s.
Post mid 80s. Yeah, I know it's
1987. Oh, if you weren't a captain.
Like what the fuck? That is the weirdest, like, what were they trying to say with that?
That's Gene Roddenberry's influence. He had his hands all over this, by the way. There were other writers involved, but Roddenberry got his mitts in there.
Was he specifically, she was saying, like, if you weren't a captain, like, we'd hang out, like, on a personal level. Like,
she was saying, if you weren't a captain, and I was in a similar situation where my life was threatened by a being that has tossed me around like a puppet, then I would have sex with you.
Yeah, that's she was
under
saying
those
that.
Traumatic circumstances.
Like, there's no other interpretation of that. So I don't understand why they put that
it's
in
because
there.
Because the 1980s was strange.
It was really weird.
Like, yeah. There's plenty of periods of time that are misogynistic, but I think the 1980s misogyny just took on a very interesting flavor.
Yeah, because it's so weird because even
was progressive men thinking they were not being misogynistic,
yeah, there's
being exceptionally misogynistic.
Yeah, there's sort of some kind of inverse backwards loop going on because normally you can look in the past and be like, oh, well, they thought this way back then. And like you follow their train of thought for the weird thoughts they have. But there's like, it like A doesn't go to B on this one for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's security at this point, right? She's always security.
Yes.
So yeah. The security officer is hitting on her captain after he saves her and gives her a little like speech, like a mother would give to a child. Picard was gave to her and then she like fucking hit on him. Like, I don't know.
He was so happy.
Well, you know.
He was so happy because when he was alone on the bridge, he looked so small. Did you notice how small Picard
he was
looks?
All alone. He was just this little guy.
Some of that was the direction. I think Cliff Bull directed this. It was a well-directed
episode.
You had a shot
of the bridge you don't usually get. Yeah. It looked kind of funny.
Between Geordi hitting on Tasha Yar and Tasha
and
Yar.
And on Wesley, who's 16.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's just a 16-year-old brain
in a
26-year-old body.
I'm going to leave this one out for this next statement. Right, but
so you're not going to mention the fact that you're not going to... Your whatever point you're making doesn't rely on the fact that Geordi... Also,
Wes
was into
not bad.
A 25-year-old body with
what
a 15-year-old's brain. In it.
No, we're ignoring it all entirely. It's like if you're watching Big that with Tom Hanks. It's like weird to think about. So between Geordi, hitting on Tasha Yar and Tasha Yar hitting on Picard, they could have like. You know, there's got to be some kind of rule 34 about that, right? About this episode, I bet there's no rule 34 for this episode.
Wait, you mean with Geordi? Tasha and Picard all like in some sort of
and Wesley as an adult can be watching or something.
Yeah. He's like sitting in the corner with his same shirt on, that gray
with the spike,
what's data
but with a spike going through his chest.
So he's like
what's
scrubbing
data
the spike. Data wouldn't want to describe it because it would be too horrific.
Yeah, he would be like,
Klingon girls involved.
Mm-hmm. A warrior's reaction.
What do you think about the theory that I remember going? All right, going back. So certainly the 90s is when I first heard it. The theory that, but it probably predates that. Maybe it goes back to the Usenet forums when this episode came out.
Usenet, FidoNet. FidoNet, Usenet, bulletin board, system,
yes, Dan.
Download, upload, download.
Door games, Dan is subtly noting that both Dan and I independently ran BBSs back in the day.
I was not noting that. I was simply saying things related to that. You're the one who noted
you
that.
You wanted me to bring
you
it up.
You brought it up and tried to blame me for it.
No, you wanted to bring it up so we'd look cool. No, guilty. We're cool guys.
You said Usenet, so I just like the name FidoNet.
Yeah, FidoNet was fun. FidoNet was similar.
FidoNet.
Sounds
anyway,
cool.
We're talking in circles here because I was going to bring up the theory. Some people have suggested that Riker never lost the Q powers, but just sort of chose not to use them.
I don't know why that was funny at the last sentence. Yeah, you're just like, he just chose not to use
them. Just at the end of the episode, he's so badass.
Wow.
He was like, you know what? Just not going to use the Q powers. Because they're
incredible.
Some people say that when, you know, at the end of the episode, when Q disappears and ostensibly the Q continuum is setting everything right, including sort of somewhat arbitrarily just shifting people's positions slightly to put them back to where they were before. People say that Riker has a funny look on his face, and one way to interpret that look is that, oh, he's realizing his powers are gone, but the other way to interpret that look is that he's realizing, hey, wait a second, everything else is back to normal, but I can still feel that special Q tingle.
He's got a tingle.
You got the Q tingle.
The Q tingle.
Tingle at the bottom of
granted,
the
one would presume he would use that Q tingle power to resurrect his dead son in the future.
That's right.
Anyway.
I was...
Dan's looking at his phone. He's scrolling furiously through his phone. He usually doesn't reference his phone, by the way, folks, because he has a laptop and a touchscreen tablet for his setup. So it's something very special, a special treat for us when he pulls out his phone, because that
one
means
of Dan's treats.
That means it's an audible. He's pulling an audible, calling it audible. Why can't I say
and when
audible?
You grow to like it too much.
All right, what's the deal here?
Well, I had some time. I just had some time, Mark. You were talking about things in the episode.
All right. You know, that is what we do here.
Were you talking about the episode?
On the It's Got Star Trek podcast. I know sometimes we're accused of not getting to the episode discussion in time. We certainly will be accused of that this episode. But yes, talking about the episode is one of the things that has come to be an expectation of our audience.
The only reason...
Get the fuck out of here.
Look, I wasn't going to say this now, but you pointed your attention to it. So this is just I don't think this has anything to do with what we're talking about. I was noticing it at Mark 21 minutes and 27 seconds. When Riker was using the Q power at that time, the rock lighting changed on the left of the screen. While the Q power was going, like, the right rock stayed the same light, but the left rock did some weird, like, light change. It went from bright light to nothing in a way that looked they fucked up. It was
it a shadow from his hand going up?
No, it was like the light was shining on it in a way that was, it's hard to explain, but the right side,
who do you think
it was an equal amount of light coming from emanating from this thing on both sides. But one rock was bright and the other one didn't have any light.
You think that's like a spotlight issue?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Some of the spotlights fucked up.
Maybe one of the gels fell out.
One of the gels fell.
Here's something that I don't think was a continuity error, but it was easy to miss. At 21 minutes and 45 seconds.
21 minutes.
1.21 gigawatts. I'm sorry.
1.21 gigawatts.
Something amuses you.
It is a compulsion.
You seem to find this all very amusing. Perhaps you'll share the joke with me.
Well, after the podcast, I'll fill you in.
Strange gratitude.
So what happens is we see a picture of the ship, right? And then the shield goes away. The Q shield, remember the Q shield?
Right,
and we see it go up into a ball.
Excuse me.
The Q shield, do you remember it goes away into a ball?
Yeah.
Well, at first the Enterprise lights, you look at it, all the lights are off. But as soon as the Q ball, the shield turns into a Q ball and disappears, the Enterprise lights come on. And I'm talking about like the windows and the windows and shit. Like, it's like when the cue ball went away, all the power went on. And I think they did that on purpose, but it was pretty subtle. It was subtle. It was an interesting detail.
I wonder if we would have noticed that back in the old days, if we were watching this episode 1987 on an RCA TV. Perhaps a Zenith.
A Zenith
on over-the-air TV.
A Magnavox.
Using rabbit ear antennas.
I remember seeing some of the first season as they premiered, the first season episodes as they premiered, and I saw it on a silly old TV from 1987. Perhaps probably earlier than that.
The TV was probably vintage.
The TV was probably, like a 1980 TV. I don't remember seeing this episode, but I remember seeing other ones.
At the beginning of the episode, there was all this like war marching, like drumbeat music. And I thought that I was like, is this just how they did Star Trek back in the first season? But it was.
The French.
The Napoleonic soldiers.
Okay.
I just like playing that clip.
No, that's cool. That's a good clip.
Yeah.
Anyways, at the beginning of the episode, there was like this warlike drumbeat, like snare drum marching music.
Yeah. You guys were in marching band?
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is at first I thought it was like my memory is poor. And I was like, I thought that that's just like how the first season of Star Trek did it. And the TNG did it, but it was like
did
Jesus
it.
Christ, sorry. Dude. I'm serious, man.
That's from before the podcast started.
I know. Like, can you fucking just hold off like for like a few seconds,
okay.
man?
All right.
God.
It was just, you're so lyrical.
You've gone too far.
the French.
It just really kills the momentum, is all. And I was gonna say,
yes,
they did that because it was in theme with the whole war theme of this episode.
And I appreciate
it. Totally, it didn't. It wasn't just how Star Trek TNG did it. It was the war theme.
I appreciate that you pronounced that differently to help avoid a repeat of the problem, because I am a child, and I fear I might have caused this. Might have all fallen apart in the last few minutes of the podcast.
Oh man!
No, I think it's well pointed out, because it was. We talked before about how awesome the music was, mm-hmm. and that's another example that they really put thought into it. They they crafted an interesting soundscape.
There was like all these sort of interesting subtle details, like the lights going on, that fact that they played that sound. Yeah. They introduced that a marching sound, marching beat before like we actually saw anything involving war.
It primes you for it.
Because then you're like, oh, there you go. There's
and then
dudes
Q was a Starfleet admiral. Then what was he? Was a marshal?
He was like a French field.
What do you know about marshals? Anything?
They're in the
French
European military. They're like a 4 or 5 star general kind of a thing, like higher than a general.
Do the marshals control like teams of admirals?
It's usually it's usually
I mean,
an army.
I guess that's what like a fleet is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's some kind of like a fleet admiral. Or
something. Marshal is a ground based.
Yeah,
right,
ground
Jesse.
Pounders.
Do you see that when first we saw Q, there was that weird Q ball that had sparkles everywhere, and it had three cobras, which are actually Aldebaran serpents.
Aldebaran serpents,
which were just differently colored cobras. But it was a weird Q ball with all these sparkles.
Cobra ball.
Yeah, what was it that Picard said? It was like, Q, have you no identity of your own, or something along those lines?
Have you no identity of your own?
That one.
Yeah, he's like, what is it with all these costumes?
What is this need of yours for costumes, Q?
Well, you know,
have you no identity of your own?
I really like that.
He's a flashy fellow.
Yeah, he also, Q said something funny too.
Just now your species is always suffering and dying.
Q said a lot of funny stuff. You already played
seized
all
my vessel, seized my vessel.
Yes, and the Worf stuff that you played earlier was also hilarious.
And then when he said this to Wesley, which is exactly the wrong thing you're not supposed to say to somebody when you're trying to convince them of something because it's so shady. When he goes, because Wesley is like not sure about the Riker's gift and doing this with his Q business, and he's all like, Q's like,
but it's easier, boy. Listen to Riker.
Could he have not said that like more evil and like shady and suspicious?
It was pretty fucking
evil. Like if you say that to somebody who's on the fence about something and you see Q say that to you, you're like, oh. He's trying to get me to do something bad, you know.
Well, it's so going back to his costumes, because it goes to the how Q presents himself, and you're right. It's like how is this going to convince anybody? So first he shows up in a Starfleet admiral outfit. Now what we don't know is if this was intended to be what an actual Starfleet admiral outfit looks like, because we never see this again.
Right.
Future admiral.
There was a lot of fringe
dress outfits.
Shit.
Don't have the silly fringe, so it could be, you could argue that he was making an exaggerated version of it to make a point, but
could be a dress uniform.
Previously, Q was showing up. He would show up in a captain's uniform, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
the standard,
because he was showing himself to be equal with Picard. Here, he shows up in an admiral's uniform, saying implicitly, "I'm superior to you." Right? Then he does the marshal's uniform, which is even superior to the admiral's uniform. But when he gives Riker the power and then is sitting there with the watching the lemonade, if you look closely, he's wearing a commander's pips. He's back to like he's equal with Riker, because that is how he's trying to ingratiate himself. He's still being an asshole, but the ingratiation is whether he's positioning himself as higher than or equal to the person he's talking to, because he's done that both with Picard in the past and in this case with Riker.
Well, I was going back to when we were talking about him like taking over Riker instead of trying to take over Picard. This was the line I was trying to remember last time. It goes, the Q says, "This is Q speaking for Captain Jean-Luc Picard, who we consider too bound by Starfleet customs and traditions to be useful to us." And so they went after Riker because he's too, like yeah. I said, he was too much by the book. So,
right. But he's just messing with Picard.
But he's just, like I said, I think he just thinks Picard's too strong to yeah. fall for that shit.
Yeah. You know? Which is probably would be.
Another way to get at Picard by like, you know, messing with this other guy.
I did like Q Data.
Yeah, that was cool. Q looks good as Data.
And again, well-directed episode where the transition was great. It was clever, shocking.
Oh, around that same part where we saw Q Data, Geordi's stunt double did this awesome like fly through the air. Like he got zapped and the Geordi like flew through the air and like did some roll on the ground. It was a really awesome stunt. And if you notice those phasers, remember when Riker shot the phaser and then Worf was like,
phasers.
He shot the phaser and blew the shit up.
Yeah.
Like remember sometimes in Star Trek, the phaser, like even though it kills people, it doesn't harm like background objects. Yeah. But this blew up a fucking
rock.
That's
a very high setting to blast a rock.
It didn't show him changing it, but yeah, clearly it must have been.
But like, it's you never know with these phasers whether they're going to blow up the background or not. You know, because they might kill a human, but not do anything to anything else. They must
I think
have
that's
like,
in the technical manual, the different settings.
The settings must not be binary or like on a two-dimensional scale. It must be like three dimensions so you can like do weird things. It's like, I put up the human kill, the organic kill factor up, but the explosion kill factor down or whatever. The explosion kill factor. That's dumb.
I don't know. It sounds pretty fucking awesome to me.
The explosion
geological disruption.
Yeah, there you go.
geological disruption. Oh, were you saying, maximum.
Were you saying something earlier, Jesse, about the bridge? There was an awesome shot of the bridge at one point where it like
there was like sort of like a front.
Yeah,
front of the bridge
right,
shot.
Yeah,
but
I know
you don't see a lot that are like that, and you saw like just Picard all alone, like in the middle of it.
Yeah. Tasha Yar was generally awkward in this episode. Like the line when she goes,
"You've gone too far."
It was bizarre.
That was like a weird line because it was preceded by Q goes, "Oh, for shame, Worf. Fairness is such a human concept. Think imaginatively. The game shall in fact be completely unfair." And then she like over responds with,
"You've gone too far."
It's like, I don't know. It just like, it didn't really.
Yeah.
It was like, as if she caught him stealing those cards in when you play the
Candyland.
Risk Candy or whatever.
Yeah. Right. When you're trying to put down, like, you grab a card and you accidentally push some of your armies
like
into, like, one of your other countries.
Oh, I just accidentally
bored about it.
Right. I moved the board around.
There was another line with Tasha Yar that it didn't make sense to me. It goes, Picard says, this is after she's talking to Picard in the penalty box. He goes, "Where's everyone else?" He goes, "Where's everyone else?" She's like, "Down on some planet." He goes, "Some planet? What are you doing here?" And Tasha goes, "Well, it sounds strange, but I'm in a penalty box." A penalty box? Mm-hmm. And then she goes, "Q's penalty box. It sounds strange, but it definitely isn't. I know that one more penalty by anyone on the gun. It sounds strange, but it isn't."
Yeah, it was awkward.
She should have said, "It sounds silly, but it isn't." Or, "It sounds harmless, but it isn't."
It's worse than it sounds.
Because yes, it's damaging. You could die. Then that's still pretty strange to me. You know. So that was
a very odd situation.
I don't know how that line made it past editing.
There was a bunch of rewrites on this episode.
And they were filming at by the seat of their pants.
You know what they should have done? Is they should have fixed it in post. That's what they should have done.
Yes.
That's what you do when you're a professional.
Post these nuts.
Another thing to point out is, and we touched on it briefly, but the whole setup here is that the Q, according to Q, are interested in this human, what they assert is a human capacity or compulsion for exploration. And watching that now with sort of more modern eyeballs, it reminds me that that is, again, a very sort of Western-centric view of things, because absolutely humans populated the whole Earth. But, you know, you get, in some cases, the love of exploration, okay, maybe, but there's also the seeking of resources, the seeking of exploitation, the needing to move because...
There was a reason why there was exploration.
There was an ecological disaster.
They wanted to get some stuff.
Yeah, so it's... I know what they're trying to say, and I in my heart, I'm like, yeah, it's wonderful, but... It's helpful to remind ourselves every now and then that the conceit of Star Trek is that it is the right of sentient beings to go around and poke around and explore stuff. I kind of feel that instinctually, but I also like I know some of that's just because I was raised watching Star Trek and was told that's what we're supposed to think. So I just thought it was kind of interesting that they're setting up that a godlike race is interested in humans because they like to poke around and colonize places. Is that why they're attracted to us? Because we're kind of shitty? I don't know.
These guys are like us.
I mean, I know Klingons and Romulans and Cardassians, they're all doing that shit too.
Pretty much.
So, and again, it's like, I don't know. Okay. I get what they're saying, but let's remind ourselves that it's not necessarily a totally benign thing, this concept of exploration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get you into all sorts of trouble.
We'd like it to others. Be though. There's good exploration.
There was the TOS episode where they went to that planet and they like just fucked that planet up.
Okay, you can just stop right there. And you're like, yep. There was a bunch of TNG episodes like that too, and you know, a few Voyager episodes.
You remember the planet had like a lion face that like it controlled like
the dragon face,
the apple.
You're talking about the apple,
right?
That's a good episode.
Yeah, and then they get to the planet, and like we don't know why they're on the planet, but they like people. They like invade some like locals, like you know they. And I think Spock even mentioned like the Prime Directive, except he called it
General Order Number One or something. Like that.
And but they broke it in that episode, even though he mentioned it. I don't know. It was weird because it's like I would understand if they had no understand or no concept of the Prime Directive yet, but they obviously did. Yet they still very obviously broke that by interfering with this culture.
Kirk was
the
rule breaker, man.
Well, but it's the Prime Directive, man.
Sometimes.
Speaking of progressive, do you think it was progressive? And can you think of a time before this on TV where, like,
where Geordi said he wants to have sex with the adult version of Wesley? I wouldn't call that progressive.
No. No.
No. No. Please.
No, sir.
You've gone too far.
Come on, not again.
No, I was talking about when Worf was having sex in front of the whole crew and he like hit that other Klingon in the face. Yeah. Okay. Like, can you think of a time before?
Beat a woman on
Can you think of a time before, and please let me finish my question before you start answering it. Can you think of a time before now in movies or TV?
Before this episode.
Oh my God.
I'm just clarifying. That's a sincere, clarification. Because you said before now.
Sorry. I reacted because I heard.
Yes, I understand. You heard my fucking voice.
I heard you.
A warrior's reaction.
Absolutely. Can you think of a time in TV or movies before this episode where a man hits a woman in the face in a way that is meant to be?
That's not.
I don't
terrible.
Even know how to word. Yeah, that's not. That's not a husband abusing
his
wife.
Yeah,
it's not obviously bad. Yeah. Not obviously shitty. Like, you know, it's meant in a. I don't want to say empowering isn't the right word, but it's done in a way where it's
a kink. This is a Klingon kink.
Right, and
it's
so
it's presented that you could write 10 papers about whether or not this is a.
Yeah, so before
positive portrayal or not.
Let me reword then. Before this episode, can you think of a time where a male character has done that to a female character and it does not make the male character look like a piece of shit?
No. I mean, not off the top of my head. I don't discount that it might be in there.
There haven't been too many female Klingons on TV.
Conan movie.
Well, not just Klingons, just any sort of woman character getting hit by a man.
So, of course,
Sean Connery was frequently hitting women in James Bond movies, but it was not. I mean, they were framing it as a cool, correct thing to do, but it was misogynistic and awful.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah,
and this may be as well. I don't know.
You're right. The James Bond thing is weird. How that works? I can't think of any. It's been so long since I've seen him, so I don't actually remember the scenes. But
some of them are pretty intense. Mm-hmm. Pretty wild. All right. We're just about out of time.
Weird, wild stuff.
Bits
you like
and bobs.
My Johnny Carson impression. Weird, wild stuff.
Yeah.
Johnny, who
It's a great impression of somebody that everyone who's listening is familiar with.
Weird.
Everyone.
Weird, wild. Do you notice only Data was able to decline the gift? Everyone else took their gift.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
And in episodes, how everything always supposed to go back to normal at the end of episodes, you know? Well, they did that quite literally in this episode when Q zapped them all back into place.
I don't think that was Q. I think that was the Q. You got the impression that Q was taken away by the Q And then the Q put.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Anyway, so everything did go back to normal, but it quite literally got zapped back to normal. Yeah. And they even like won their mission, but they didn't even remember doing it because they when they zapped back, everything was all good. Not only was everything all good, but they won their mission to save the people.
They won the mission, yes.
To save the people.
That is the parlance used in the military when a mission is successful. Everyone's like, we won.
Yeah. And so like,
we won the mission.
So they didn't have time to show them save the people, but they still won it anyway because of the Q. My bad.
Thine own self was a line that Data spoke.
Yeah.
Quoting that was an Shakespeare. Episode. And that was an episode we discussed.
We did that shit.
Yeah. We did that in episode 21 of It's Got Star Trek. I don't remember whether that was a good podcast episode or not.
I remember that it was.
But I really enjoyed that. That's one of my favorite episodes. I mean, I know it's not considered like a top classic, but I don't know. There's always something about Thine Own Self that I really enjoyed. I like the application of the scientific method and all that other stuff that goes on.
I think we got down with it.
So people, please go listen to episode 21, Thine Own Self.
Let us
let us know if it's any good.
We should redo some of those old episodes.
Well, maybe we'll do that. Well, how about this? You listen to it, write us back, tell us whether it was shit or not shit. It's a new feature called Shit or Not Shit. Feedback at discussstartrek.com. And let us know. And if it's shit, well, maybe we'll rediscuss it.
So I'm on the subreddit Star Trek, and this post was
why'd you pronounce it like you've never said the word Star Trek before?
What did I say?
You're like squinting your eyes. You're like, I'm on the subreddit Star Trek.
Well, sometimes I don't know if it had some kind of. It's a subreddit, so it could have been called like Star Trekky Whoopi or something like that. You know?
All right,
r/StarTrekkyWhoopi. Okay. Have you been to that one?
I have not.
r/StarTrekkyWhoopi.
No, Whoopi, I have not. Whoopi.
But there's 10 months ago, somebody Montadrew made a post, and it says the title of the post is an argument that Thine Own Self is the best TNG episode.
All right, there you go.
I have not yet read it, but
well, neither have I, and I don't know if I'd agree. I'd be curious to read that because I don't know if I'd agree with that, but I do very much like that episode. Another line I really liked that I don't think has come up yet, or maybe it has, is I really like that the very end line of Picard where he says, "Perhaps sometime we'll learn that space and time are simpler than the human equation."
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That was a fun line.
Yeah, it's a trite line.
It's a 1980s line, but I thought it was fun, and it harkened back to the TOS days of always having to have some little cute little line to button up the episode.
Yeah, totally.
Even if the episode is all super dramatic and depressing, they'll still have to have that like doot 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 doot, you know, like the little fun little line at the end.
Right.
Seized my vessel.
But it's easier, boy. Listen to Riker.
Damn it, I can't even make a log entry.
That's what Picard said when he got constipated.
Damn it, I can't even make a log entry. Yeah,
that's good. Oh, by the way.
That's good. Was not good.
By the way, folks.
Have you noticed how you and I are now on a first name basis?
We mentioned our Patreon. One episode we did on our Patreon was on Star Trek jokes. It's a great episode. It's free. We've made it. We had it on our public feed. If you scroll back, you can find it. But also go to patreon.com/ThisGotStarTrek because that is one of two completely free episodes where you get the whole thing for free.
Have your favorite wish, my young friend.
Out. If you like that, you're going to like the rest of the stuff on there. So definitely worth checking out. Again, last call for comments.
Quite right. So you should.
Otherwise, we're good. Okay. Feedback at DiscussStarTrek.com. www.DiscussStarTrek.com.
Ridiculous.
Website.
He's nothing but a flim-flam man.
At It's Got Star Trek.
Flim-flam.
On all the social medias.
He's nothing but a flim-flam man.
Facebook.
Flim-flam.
Hey.
We're on YouTube.
Wes.
We're on...
Not bad.
Apple Podcasts. We're on...
Oh, if you weren't a captain.
All sorts of things.
Is this your idea of sex?
We'll talk about that after the podcast, Dan.
The third ridge.
Okay, I think that's all the main things, so yeah.
The third ridge.
Hope you enjoy that.
Moving well, too.
Next week. next week.
And that's not all.
Next week, we will be starting our live coverage of Lower Decks, fifth and final season. Don't know what the episode's called.
What in the hell am I doing? Crying?
But
it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. We look forward to that. We hope you stick with us. Follow us along. Keep listening.
No!
And then after Lower Decks is done, we'll get back to the old random jumping around using Dan's
algorithm. Sir.
Okay. That's it. Talk to you later.
Later.
Goodbye.
Yes, I am gone.
You're going to miss me.
Geordi, can you see Worf?
I'd see the freckles on his nose if he had them, sir. He's at the third ridge.
The third ridge?
Mm-hmm, moving well, too. Uh-oh.